And it's time for an agency spotlight, authority agency spotlight. And today we have someone that we get a really good, I think, view and insight from, because she has been in this business for several years. And like a lot of people, the business they do, she kind of backed into it and found that she was successful. But what I really like hearing about her story is that she was doing this, you know, long before authority agency, or probably before, you know, as even the word authority was applied to it, because she comes from the world of publicity, PR, you know, what people were doing, you know, years ago that were charging, you know, thousands and thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars retainers for clients. And usually it was someone that had some kind of celebrity status already that would engage in this. So we're really going to get to hear some good, I would call them war stories or shop talk around publicity and how it's evolved into authority, and also talk about some of the tools that she's created out of the need, and really the something that people just don't think about that are neglecting when they do get publicity, and to be able to leverage that into authority. So with that, I want to welcome today Jane Tabachnik. Jane, thank you very much for coming on today.
Hi, Jack. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, that was, I tried to get a lot of it in, but you have a really impressive background. And that's one of the things why I was really happy when you came into authority agency, because we have some people that are really have some great backgrounds in this and have done some really big things. And you're definitely a name that I've seen for several years in the world of publicity and PR and in the early evolution of authority. So let's start right there about kind of how you got into publicity and PR. Because I'll tell you right now, I've never met anybody that when they were a kid said, I'm going to be, in the PR, right? You kind of, most people fall down one day and they get up and they're in publicity or doing authority marketing. So let's hear how you got into this.
That's a good point. Yeah. So my story starts as what I did aspire to do, and what I did in my initial career was that I was a fashion designer. I joke that I'm a recovering fashion designer, but I had a lot of fun and some hard times as a fashion designer in my own collection a number of times, and working for some designer, some of whose names you might recognize. And the challenge as a young fashion designer, like any perhaps new entrepreneur, was that it was really hard to get the attention of not just the media, but of the buyers. I needed to get in front of them. So I knew once they saw my designs, they would love them and want them, but I couldn't just get in the door. And so somehow one day I thought, you know, I think I need some PR. And I was lucky to have a little bit of mentoring, and then just being young and foolish, I said, I'm just going to go for it. So I put out a press release, and looking back now, there are a number of mistakes I made, but nonetheless, I was able to get some great publicity. I wound up in Women's Wear Daily and a publication called Sportswear News, and the buyers who wouldn't take my calls began to call me or began to pick up the phone. So it really made a huge impact on my career and the success of my business. Just that one press release really got the ball rolling.
Well, so I think that's a perfect illustration. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, you get this. And I think that really demonstrates what it means to get what PR and publicity it wasn't that you used the press release to drive traffic and to sell your fashions, to sell what you had. You used it to give you the credibility so that people would feel that they should listen to what you have or take a look at what you have. And I think a lot of people try to segment, because we've often see people that try to use news releases or news stories and they just can't help themselves but to make them kind of salesy or marketing. But I think what you just said really is a perfect example of what that's used for. It's not to actually sell, but it's to make people take notice that you're someone that they might need to listen to or should listen to in order to see what you have. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great point, because you may have heard this said before, it takes a number of touches before people want to do business with you. You know, it could be a number of callbacks, follow-ups, touch points by email. But also nowadays, they want to see that third-party credibility, whether it's on an online review, an influencer who's written about you, or the media, certainly being an influencer, writing about you gives people that confidence and that implied endorsement. But certainly, it's like a five-star recommendation or review when you get media coverage or you get cited in the media.
Yeah, and even though it's not a blatant review or blatant endorsement, it's almost like a inferred endorsement from the people that are seeing it.
Exactly. What, you know, what we're really talking about is, you know, Jack, is perception.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's what really matters. So it's like the company you keep. So being, you know, being in good company, being mentioned in the media gives people a perceived impression of you, that instant expert status, and your the perception of you is instantly raised and elevated.
Yeah, and so that's what happened to you with your fashion business, is that all of a sudden, because of this PR, they started giving you the opportunity to show them what you had, right?
Exactly.
And so where did that lead?
Yeah, so I was very fortunate to be featured in some of the best stores. I had some great runs. I ran into the usual challenges that fashion designers run into with cash flow and other things that put them in and out of business. But it really helped me in advancing my career, until I decided I had enough being in and out of business, running out of financing, et cetera. And it was at that point that I really took stock and said, well, what is it that I could do if I wasn't a fashion designer? What do I enjoy doing? And what skills do I have? And I really thought, well, I'd done a pretty good job for myself doing marketing and PR. So I thought, let me focus on that. And I really haven't looked back. When I was a fashion designer, and something that I still enjoy doing, is that I've been mentoring other entrepreneurs. Is something I do, I get paid to do, and I've also done as a volunteer for a number of different organizations. And it's something that I just really, really enjoy doing. And to be able to help entrepreneurs either provide a solution, like actually helping them get the PR, or giving them the tools to get the PR and the visibility themselves to establish that authority, is incredibly rewarding. And when they see the impact it can have on their business, wow.
Yeah,
it's so great.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's what it really is. And wow is probably, you know, one of the few words to describe that, is because it's something that they probably haven't experienced before, and also was something that they probably hadn't expected to happen or to get when they probably entered into that venture. One of the things that you do, and what, you know, really struck me, and something I thought was just a great concept, was your publicity for introverts. And, you know, when you when I first saw that and heard about that, I thought, okay, I know exactly who Jane's talking about. But I also thought, Jane has probably worked with a lot of people in publicity to understand this mentality and understand, because this really is a psychological behavior that, you know, people that when they do this long enough, they're going to come across in the way people feel about publicizing themselves or you know, positioning themselves as experts or authority. Talk a little bit about that, the publicity for introverts, and the type of businesses that you've seen that have this, and what people can watch out for, that it, you know, because oftentimes what we found is, it comes across as a no, this isn't something I want to do, but inside it's like something they do want to do, they need to do, but they just don't feel that they're the person, or they're not ready yet for that. And I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head with that.
Yeah. So, it, you know, the light bulb went off, I'd say about a year and a half ago. I was taking it a little bit personally that people would express an interest in either having me mentor or coach them in doing PR and building their authority, or they were interested in my programs. And then I'd see them back off a bit. And it really took me a while to have that crystallize and realize that it was about this feeling of the fact that they were an introvert, and that getting visibility or being exposed, being out there, is scary. And, you know, I know I experienced that myself. And so I realized that I needed to work with people a little bit differently around that and give them some tools, and also to help people understand that there's not a one size fits all solution to becoming an authority. It doesn't mean you have to go on the Today Show or a national or international media outlet on live TV tomorrow. The fact of the matter is, even people who have gotten a lot of media coverage, who get paid big bucks to speak in front of big crowds, get media training. So it's not something that comes naturally to most of us, nor should they go ahead and accept an engagement to be on national TV tomorrow.
Right, because the host of that show, it's not their job to teach them how to react or how to behave on there. And there's some people that are naturals, but most people aren't. And right. So that's, you know, one of the things that I think is a added benefit and value, and probably, you know, gets people loyal and sees you as that educator and advocate, is it's not just about I'm going to get you exposure, but I'm going to, you know, show you how to develop yourself and present yourself with that exposure.
Exactly. And you have to get a sense of where someone is at. And, you know, sometimes they believe it's an introvert quality that stops them from doing something. Sometimes that is the case. And sometimes it just isn't. You know, like public speaking, for instance, is one of the biggest fears of all people surveyed. So it's not just introverts. It's not, you know, one segment of the population. Extroverts share that fear. But the important thing is to really understand the value that having authority positioning can do for you, and to find a way to do it or have it done for you in a way that supports you and helps you realize your business goals.
Yeah. And I think that is kind of what, you know, the whole authority marketing, it's not just a task. When, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, well, someone can go here and get a press release for, you know, X amount of dollars, $200. Why would they pay me $1,000 to work with them? And then they mistake, you know, they think of themselves as just a commodity of a press release. And obviously they have the opportunity to do so much more, just as you do. One of the things that, you know, we had talked about that I saw, and the more that you kind of get out there and talk with businesses, especially, you know, successful businesses that have been, you know, out there for a while, is how many people completely, neglect or don't understand that publicity or media exposure isn't just something that happened once, and the only value is during that chronological period that it occurred, and that's it. You know, one of the examples that we talked about is how, you know, someone that's, you know, oh, I was on, you know, Good Morning America, but that was, you know, 10 years ago, and I didn't really get much out of it, and that was over, and they never talk about it again, or they think that was the only time that it could have benefited them was from the people that actually were in front of their TV sets when that came on. And one of the things that, you know, you did early on is kind of trying to come up with a solution to help people not neglect that. Talk about, you know, that and, you know, I'm always surprised when I explain to people that their opportunity to leverage that, just began after it was over. It wasn't when it was actually occurring. That was just the incidental part that had to occur. Now the big fun comes when you get to leverage that media appearance. So talk about how you've done that and kind of the solutions that you've come up with to help people with that.
Sure. So yeah, I'm always amazed at that as well. So it's kind of like the old adage, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, did it fall? So the same is so true for getting citations or mentions in the media. You know, you've got to let people know they happened. Yes, your cousin, your prospect, your mom, your clients could be reading the Wall Street Journal and see that you got coverage in there. And that's great if they happen upon it. But why hope they're going to see it? What you want to do is have a strategic approach to letting people know at the time it happens. And then after that, you want to start showcasing it regularly on your website, in your LinkedIn profile, in your bio that you use, not just on LinkedIn, if you're trying to get speaking engagements, or on your book jacket. So you want to leverage that. And this is something I've seen happen so many times. And one of the ways that I addressed that was that there's a need to have a media room or a press room or newsroom on your website so that you can let people know about those mentions you've gotten and also any news that you have happening. So you may have been featured in the Wall Street Journal, but you may also have something that you're generating. Maybe you're giving a talk in your office to a small group of people. That can become a news item for that media section. And the reason it's important is not just to let people know in case they missed that article that featured you in the Wall Street Journal, but journalists will go to your website and they will look for your newsroom. They'll want to use it in a few ways. And this is really important, not just to check you out and see what coverage you've gotten, but journalists can be really busy. It can be 3 a.m. They can be on a deadline and they're not going to call you. They wouldn't do that. They don't know what time zone you're in. But on your website, if you've got a great newsroom, not just with the press that you've gotten, which, by the way, lets them know that you are media savvy and know how to work with them. So it's a credibility issue by having that there. But it also can provide them with the information they need to use you in a story without ever talking to you. So some people think, oh, but I want to talk to them. You know what? It's great when they have time and that can be a nice experience. But if they can go to your newsroom 3 a.m., get the story they need, you get the media coverage without having to talk to them. It's a win-win.
Oh, it is. And think about that. Is it really that you want to talk to them or do you want them to talk about you? You know, you make it easy for you make it as easy as possible for them to talk about you. And like you said, they are, whether, you know, it's busy, lazy, whatever it is, a lot of them are looking for self-serve. You know, they want the fast food of news and quotes and things like that. And if they don't have to mess around with setting appointments and things like that to talk to you, and they can just go grab something and you make it very easy and siloed, you know, on the web that they can pick that, then that makes it just a no-brainer. I mean, it's actually something that probably would make them come back to you over and over again because they know they're going to find what they want in the place. It's siloed and it's easy to find and easy to use. And I think that's just brilliant to be able to do that. And a lot of people, they throw up, you know, pages on their site with, and it's kind of not with a lot of purpose, a little bit here and there. What is your suggestions as far as to making that as easy as possible for journalists to be able to talk about you without actually having to talk to you? What are some of the things that should be incorporated in a newsroom?
Yeah, sure. So the main thing is to not send them on a scavenger hunt. Put a link to your newsroom in the top navigation of your website. You can also link to it from the About Us page, but make sure it's really easy to find it. And it sounds intuitive and simple, but you'd be amazed that it isn't always front and center like that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that you want to just have it simply laid out. Information that's easy to find. You want to have your best contact information there so that that journalist on a deadline can call you or can email your best number, not something that goes to a box you check once a week. So you really want to make sure that however they're going to connect with you via that page is going to get you, and you can be responsive if they are looking to talk to you or get clarification on something that they're writing. And what you want to do is have your latest news up at the top. You want to have a high resolution headshot, product shot, all those kind of good things. A good short bio, and you can also have a long bio. If you're looking for speaking gigs, having an audio and or video clip is certainly valuable to have there. And then what you want to do is have a downloadable media kit. And this can be really simple. It can be a simple Word document, or better yet, turned into a PDF that gives them basically everything they would need to know to write about you. I'm not talking about War and Peace, but good short bio about you. If you are in various businesses, the different businesses, what they provide, your best contact info. So kind of like a concise version of your newsroom in your media kit.
Right. So when you say kit, a lot of people envision a lot of different things, but it really is a 1 or 2 or 3 page concise, you know, footprint or kind of a summary of you and your authority and, you know, what makes you someone media worthy and kind of where you've been and some of the more interesting latest stories about you. Right.
Exactly. And you can include some tips or sound bites that they can grab and run with. So you really just want to make it as easy as possible for them to write about you. And, you know, the other thing about your newsroom, you'd be amazed, like the About Us page, your clients or prospective clients will go and they will read through that to get a sense of you. And it speaks volumes, again, like those 5-star reviews. If they're comparing you to the competition who doesn't have a newsroom, which doesn't mean, by the way, that the competition hasn't gotten media coverage, they just didn't know enough to put it on their website, they're going to choose you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Does it count if nobody knows?
It doesn't.
That is. And so one of the ways that you've come up with to solve this problem, because people would come and you'd put these things together. And I want to give a little plug, because I think it's something that's really, it was really smart, as you put together a WordPress plugin that kind of puts all this stuff together for you, or puts it in the right compartments to fill in, so that you have a very purposeful type of a media room or newsroom for a WordPress site, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I really tried to make it very simple and affordable for people. There are a number of hosted newsroom solutions out there, but they can run hundreds of dollars a month. And I just know for my audience, that wasn't the kind of budget they would want to spend on that. So I created a plugin called Instant Press Room. It's really simple. It operates the way that I like to, work with tools. And once you install it, your press room is completely installed and configured. So you don't have to think about what to place where. You can just type in your text like you're working in Microsoft Word and upload your photos and your logo. Of course, you can rearrange where things are if you choose to, but you don't need to really think. And that's part of the value that it brings. It's kind of WYSIWYG, if you will.
Yeah. One of the things I like about it is that you can put these components on your website, but a lot of times it still has all the distractions of your website. And what I like about it is you make it to where when they get to that press room, it's all about that press room, because that's what they're looking for. You kind of give the distractions of the website aren't necessarily taking over. It really does get focused on what is meant to do, and is to display your press and your media mentions. So, and with the contact information, it pretty much just makes it easy for people not to have to hunt for the information that's right there at their fingertips. So I thought that was just really smart, for you to put that together, because it is something that probably is easy for your clients just to put on there, and it kind of takes care of it.
Yeah, thank you. That was exactly the idea. You know, after I created it, I started following a company that does an annual newsroom survey. And the most recent survey, after surveying a couple of hundred or 1,000 journalists, said that 87% of them expect companies of all sizes to have an online newsroom. So they are looking for you to have that and for it to be a tool that they can use.
Yeah, that's great. And the other thing is, when you talk about the media kits, the press kits, a lot of people aren't really sure about putting those together. And I guess you put up enough of them together throughout the years that you kind of, I guess you've kind of templatized them, if that's a word. Is that a word? Templatized.
Yeah.
And kind of given them names. You started offering those out for people to be able to use for that. And that's, templates are always great for people that are trying to put this together, because to me, it's so much easier than starting with a blank page and knowing what to do. So, you know, what are some of the elements of a press kit template, you know, that goes on there? I know we talked about, you know, that concise, you know, your name and all that, but it really is the way that you've put these together. It almost is like a printable version of a newsroom, and they're just kind of, you can use it, what, to, was it Word or PowerPoint or something like that, for people to just to be able to plug in their own information?
Yeah. So I created these templates to make it real, again, like the press room, really easy, so that people could have a professional, attractive looking media kit. And these are one sheet. So a media kit or a press kit can be a one sheet, or it can be a series of documents. The more press you get, the more you would have to include. But just to get people a great place to start, I created these one sheets, and they're editable in PowerPoint or with an online software, free software that works just as well. So, you know, again, you cut and paste your content in, you just upload your photos, and boom. Of course, you can reconfigure them if you feel you need to, but I had some great designers lay them out, and they really get the job done easily and affordably. And the other thing about them, which is important to note, is you want to keep your press room and press kit updated. So not to sound like a sales pitch, but what I think is valuable about them, besides not having to pay a designer in the first place, when you need to update it with every new media mention you get, or a new product you add, then you could go in yourself and just keep it up to date. It takes a second, doesn't cost anything extra.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is one of the things, the big thing I think is it gets people to have one when normally they don't. And I bring these up for a couple of reasons. One, obviously, you know, I think they're great resources if people want to use them, but also kind of how you took that knowledge of what you're doing and kind of, and turned it into a product that people can use and kind of, you know, do it yourself. And that's something that a lot of people don't think about, is, you know, if they have something like that, or they put together something really cool, a useful resource that, you know, a way to, if they have a way to templatize it or turning into that, it can certainly be an additional source of revenue or piece of their business. So, definitely very smart of you to branch that out. If you have something that is, you know, powerful and you've been able to systemize it like that too, why not package it up and put it out there for people to use?
Well, thank you. But you know, the real thing is, Jack, I get to meet some really amazing entrepreneurs, and I get real excited about what they're doing. And I feel it's almost like criminal that they're not getting the word out there as well as they could be, so they get the attention and the recognition and the sales that they want and deserve. And sometimes it's just these simple tools that help them do it.
Yeah, and it really is, because it's just a matter, because it comes down to a simple tool that is the difference between them having this asset and them not having this asset. And be able to do that. And I think a lot of people in the agency have seen that, you know, probably some of the people that they've done, it's been the first, you know, news release that the business has ever done, and they've seen, you know, what kind of results that they can get from that. So, you know, based on your experience and you seeing how publicity has kind of evolved into, you know, authority marketing, what are some of the trends that you're seeing, and you know, what are some of the, you know, any kind of advice or inspiration that you could give to people that are, you know, thinking about, you know, am I doing this right? Am I heading in the right direction? Some people that may not have even talked to anyone yet because they're still trying to figure out, is this, you know, a real opportunity? Is this something that can be done? And you've obviously seen, you know, from, you know, several years of doing this and how it's evolved, like I said, you know, what is it that people should be considering, you know, as they're going into this?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, as I've told you, Jack, my hat's really off to you and Brian for creating this great authority marketing platform and methodology, because the truth is it works. It gets people results pretty rapidly, and it really empowers them. And that's huge. You know, the thing about it, though, that I would say is that what people don't always realize, and I know you've said this, is that it's not a one-time occurrence. Yes, if you've gotten that Wall Street Journal coverage, or you know, you've become a bestseller, you want to let people know and use that as part of your story and your bio all the time. But we live in this crazy world with so much information coming at us. I mean, if you think about it, if you're on Facebook or Twitter, you post something, and then if you go back to see it, a second later, it's gone. It's been buried by all the other content that's been posted. And the same can happen with your authority marketing or PR. So what you want to do is try and be consistently getting that coverage. And it doesn't have to be in big name media outlets. Every single mention or citation you get is valuable, and it adds up and builds your authority. You know, I sometimes get the question, well, should I bother with local media? Absolutely. I actually read a story not that long ago, a survey that talked about mommy bloggers. They could be small local mommy bloggers that are basically seeding big national stories. So there are journalists reading some seemingly small, not big major blogs and getting stories there.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was reading something like that as well, too, because one, they think it's going to be much easier for them to get a scoop on something, you know, or right, have a unique story rather than covering the same thing that everyone else is covering. Yeah, what is really remarkable about how they do this. And yeah, it's almost like you're putting bait out for predatory journalists. Sometimes they're just looking for the easy thing that nobody else knows about. And why not make it easy for them? Yeah. And that's great. And, you know, to feed that is something that a lot of people just aren't doing. It's not even on their radar to even try to do. So that's a great idea.
And, you know, the truth is you never know where or how something gets picked up and turns into a bigger story. So, you know, you've got to be in it to win it, like the New York State Lottery slogan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's one of the you know, we recently had a guy that used a newsjacking technique to put out a release for his company. And, you know, he sent us back, you know, probably within a couple of weeks, how that one news release turned into, I can't remember the specifics, but I think it turned into a big company buying out his company. And that news release turned into like a $1 million deal for him. And so that's huge. Without it, you know, not even knowing about, they saw this news release and they contacted, and then one thing led to another, and just a huge, life changing occurrence happened. So that's it really is powerful stuff for sure. Well, one thing I don't want to forget: how can people find out about the resources that you talked about, the Instant Press Room and the templates? You have those where people can purchase those. I know what's the best way for them to find out about that, and also to find out about you and your site, because you do some really cool things with your site to set examples for this as well.
Well, thank you. So my site is simply janetabachnik.com, and for the tools, you can access them via my site, or I have a store on getpublicity.net.
All right. Perfect. So, yeah, definitely check those out. And I think the templates are definitely, you know, even if you're looking where to start, there's so many different ways that you can do, you know, the one sheets like Jane was talking about, and different media kits. And to me, it's just a no brainer just to not start with a blank sheet of paper, to kind of be able to put that together and have those components. So, Jane, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with people, because it's always great to talk to someone that, you know, has been in this business for some time and sees the value of the stuff that we're adding to this, and the different strategies that we're adding that make it unique to what, you know, traditional publicity is. And so, you know, I'm very grateful for you, you know, coming on and talking about this and what you're doing in your business.
Well, thank you again. It's been my pleasure.
All right. Fantastic. Folks, there you have it. Another great authority agent spotlight. Definitely check out the resources that Jane's put together. They are extremely powerful. And until next time, remember, you are the only real game changer.